Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala. And Doc, it's always a joy to have you on the broadcast, and what a delight, especially to hear and discuss with you the topic that we're talking about today.
Well, we are finishing this series with husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
And these things we have dealt with for many, many years.
How many years have you been doing couples conferences?
Thinking probably 35.
35 years.
Well, we've been ministry for 43 years, so I am thinking probably at least 35 of those.
So the things that you're sharing with us really are coming out of a lifetime of ministry, and these are tested and true principles.
Yes, yeah, these things that have come, I get my pollen from a lot of flowers, but I make my own honey. And I think I remember one book I read, in fact, some of these things might come from, but my problem is I don't have my sources listed always.
Sure.
After 35 years or so. But I think Chuck Swindoll had written a book called Strike the Original
Match.
And I think I remember years ago jotting some of these things. And some of these words in these outlines may have come from some of those, but I've used them for so long. They're in my column on the Bible.
Right.
I've printed and redone.
Right.
And rewritten.
Well, like you said, you've made your own honey out of them.
Right. Like I get my
juice
from
great.
A lot of flowers.
Right.
But over these years, my wife and I have used these, and I know I have been benefited by many, many others, and I think Chuck Swindoll being one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that book. Mm-hmm. I still have to dig that out, but it has been many, many, many years. Yeah. And some of this may have been some of that material, but I don't know for sure. But
right.
I do want to acknowledge not all of this is original from years ago, but it becomes yours after,
oh, absolutely.
After a period
absolutely.
Of time.
Absolutely, and we're thankful that you're sharing the honey with us. Well, last time we were together, we talked about what it meant to be a Spirit-filled man and what that looked like. And this broadcast, we want to reverse the question now and ask the question, what does it mean to be a Spirit-filled woman and what does that look like?
Well, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where it is excess. Then a Spirit-filled wife is to submit.
Mm-hmm. And I have that text here. Let me read it to you. Paul, in verse 21, ends the section by saying, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then speaking to the wives, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
One broadcast, we probably ought to do one whole broadcast just on the topic of this matter of submission.
Right.
And the whole authority structure in the God-ordained institution of the home, human
mm-hmm.
government, and the church.
Right.
As modeled in the Trinity.
Mm.
Because there has to be a separation of essence and function.
Okay.
And to me, if that is not clearly delineated, that's where confusion comes about the topic of submission, as though it makes the woman a lesser being. It does not make the woman a lesser being.
There's a unity in spirit. There's a oneness in spirit.
Yes.
But there's a difference in function is what you're saying.
A difference in function.
Sure.
And there's an essence equality.
Yes.
Function.
Yeah, there's no difference between male and female, the
no.
Scripture says. Right.
Right. But in function.
There is.
There's a God-given assignment.
Sure.
Just like in human government, just like there is in the church
mm-hmm.
and there is in the family. Now, the number one marriage problem is selfishness. I think that's pretty
mm-hmm.
much a given.
Right.
Wives are instructed to submit. Now, I define submission as ducking so God can hit the husband.
I say, I've heard you do that before.
Ladies, if you want to put your head in the way,
it's a problem.
You take the pressure. Duck so God can get to the husband. Submission does not make the woman a lesser person, but a special position.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're listening and say this whole thing of submission, I just don't buy it. It doesn't make you lesser. It makes you special. Now, we went to 1 Peter chapter 3 to describe a Spirit-filled man.
Mm-hmm.
What does a Spirit-filled woman look like? Now, why don't you read, Doc Horn, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7? Because the woman is also included
in that discussion. Peter says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are as long as you do well, and are not afraid with any amazement.
Then verse 7.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Key phrase, heirs together of the grace of life.
Huh.
In order that your prayers
be not hindered. This serious consequences to not doing this.
Yes.
Thing.
When I have counseled women saying, why doesn't God answer my prayer about my husband? I said, let me ask you if these characteristics are in your marriage. And it may be that because there is an absence of these, your prayer life is hindered. How often do we hear a message on prayer based on marriage relationships?
Marriage relationship.
Now, what does a spirit-filled wife look like? The likewise refers back to chapter 2. Were the unjust suffering of Christ, or he suffered sacrificially, suffered for us that we might be saved. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. So she is responsible, number one, for her actions. She has to be doing what a spirit-filled wife does. Oftentimes, a lady will get saved and get so excited, start going to church, she becomes irresponsible as a mother and as a wife.
No food,
supper's
no supper,
late,
yeah.
And yet then she feels burdened to leave a Bible open on his pillow with the words underlined, husbands, love your wife, something she learned in ladies' Bible class.
Right.
Well, what he does is he starts developing an attitude that resents the church and the pastor.
Because they've taken his place.
Because they have taken his place. Mm. Well, a woman with right actions who has a husband who is an unbeliever or away from the Lord will not be won by her preaching, that if any obey not the word, halagos, they may without the word. There's no definite article.
Right,
there.
No preaching.
Yeah, without a word. By what? Conversation of the wife. What is the conversation? Her manner
lifestyle.
Of living.
Yeah.
Her actions. So number one, a woman is responsible for her actions. But here's something I overlooked for a long time. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation and that little phrase coupled with fear. I looked that up, same word that's reverence in Ephesians 5:33. So not only does she have actions for which she is responsible, she has an adoration. What a role. My wife has played an excellent role in the adoration, because and I travel as many times we've traveled together.
Right.
I've opened my suitcases, notes have fallen out, but she hides the little notes around, and there are always notes of adoration and support and prayer. Well, that's a biblical role. I asked a woman in California, I said, what do you like about your husband? She said, nothing. I said, you mean you can't think of anything? Well, he has a nice right eye and has a nice left eye. And she was being very sarcastic and bitter.
Oh, no.
And I said, well, that's not the role of adoration. And a woman has no idea how protective that is, because a man, as he begins to age, he goes into ego sag. And if he has ego sagging, a wife nagging, he big trouble.
Yeah, that's an old Indian proverb.
Because there is a younger woman who's going to come and pay attention because she has not fulfilled her role of adoration. He will be subtly sucked into this relationship.
So it's more than just doing the right actions. It's having the right adoration to your husband that you're talking about here.
Yeah. She has to highly esteem him. And if she doesn't have it, she has to ask God to give it to her. Number three, she is responsible for her adornment in verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be the outward plaiting of hair. And that's a whole other study in itself. But a woman has to have proper adornment. And then another word is right attitude. but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Mm. Her attitude of meekness and quietness. What a role. But we could make a full message, a one-hour
exactly.
message out of each one of these points. Her attitude has to be right. And then she has to pay attention to her husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord.
Lord.
She really has to attend to his needs. And I know Beth does that for you. She's you're tired, you're worn out, you're doing projects, you're doing doctoral thesis, you're preaching, you're counseling, you're teaching, you're traveling. And she, in her wisdom, is used of God to
temper that and to meet those needs, absolutely.
I came home the other night just completely whipped. My wife got the massager out, said, lay down. And laid down, worked my back, my head, my...
Mm.
That's attending to
yes.
the husband. And then it says, having her part in answered prayer.
Which
what a
what
role.
We saw, yeah, in verse 7.
And you know what? If any relationship works, it's by God's grace.
Mm.
Being heirs together of the grace
mm-hmm.
of life.
Mm-hmm.
And what I say when I'm doing a wedding ceremony, I said, this is by God's grace. You're heirs together of the grace of life.
Mm.
And I will literally bring these challenges. If I'm doing a wedding ceremony, I will challenge the couple.
Now, what can a woman do if she's in a scenario and she's doing all of these other things internally? What are some things that she can do?
Well, some of the lady listeners will remember a book called The Total Woman.
Yes.
From Total Womanhood. And I met a lady in Pennsylvania who came to one of our conferences and... She said, are you familiar with Total Womanhood? And I said, yes. She said, do you know what we teach? And I said, basically, she said, we operate on four basic things. A wife has to accept her husband.
Mm-hmm.
That's even the way he eats. She can't say,
which is hard.
Honey, please don't make those noises when we have company. You sound like an old Maytag washing machine. Accept. Number two, adapt. Don't say I do and try to redo.
Wow.
Number three, admire. Which I think goes along with chapter 3
yes.
and verse 2, coupled with fear, where there is an admiration where she says, I admire my husband. And then number 4, accomplish things for him. She knows he wants this done, and I'm going to accomplish that for him by God's grace. And these are 4 things that Total Womanhood teaches in the old book, The Total Woman.
Well, Doc, thank you for this series on spirit-filled life, both of a man and a woman, in the broadcasts today and the previous broadcasts. Those of you listening can pick up those broadcasts at www.thewordforlife.org, and we hope that they will be of a blessing to you or to others that you may share them with. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.